So this is We Light the Way. That's the name of the episode. Episode 5, which is that that's Hightower words, right?
I believe so.
We Light the Way. Interesting that we see Damon's wife. Hang on a minute. I'm just going to pull up the IMDb for the characters in this episode because there were a few of
Yeah, she rocked the one scene that she had. I thought
them.
she gave a good
Yeah.
performance, actress.
For sure. Actually, she was an interesting character. I don't necessarily like. I am curious as to know why their marriage was a no-go. Not like a no-go, but like why it was just something that Damon didn't like. Is it because they're like two headstrong people that just clash at every turn? Or is it because she's not very powerful? Like I would imagine Damon married down, right, in that regard.
Yeah, I think pretty significantly, because she's not, her house isn't
It's
really
not.
even that high. All things considered, they're noble, but they're one of the, I think, lesser lords of the Vale.
Yeah,
They're,
well,
you know, the
that
Aerons are the, they're bannermen to the Aerons.
exactly. Yeah.
And I think that her personality clashes with Damon, we can see
Yeah, and
in
she's
that
also.
scene, and that it's not really what Damon's looking for in a wife.
No, I am almost I believe it was an arranged marriage, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm having a heck of a time trying to find this episode on IMDb. They keep putting me towards the blog, and now it wants me to download the app. Come on, IMDb.
IMDb really sucks these last couple of years. They dropped the ball.
Yes. Okay. Right. Effort. Right. We light the way. Right. Great. Okay. Prepared. Also. Okay. Right. So, this is kind of interesting. I also found like was he supposed to was Damon supposed to look ominous in his little like Game of Thrones Mac, like, because he
Yeah,
looked.
he looked like a Sith or something in his robe.
Well, he looked. He looked like he'd been at it with the sheep, to be honest. He looks like a right dodgy character in the field, doesn't
He does look pretty dodgy, yeah.
So are you back from your wanking field again, Damon? Like, I guess they were trying to go for sinister, but they just kind of made it look like grotty old pervert.
Yeah.
I was yeah, like it's. I guess this is like the way that it was going to go, right? Like he, maybe it's a reminder that he's a bad dude, or like it's kind of interesting to try and work out what his political machinations are, whether or not he's got any. Some people seem to think that he's kind of doing this a lot on the fly, like he's just trying to sort of gravitate towards maybe power or just like. Doing what he wants, sort of in a more Joffrey-esque way.
Do you think he went to the Vale with the intention of killing his wife? Or he just sort of happened at, like, circumstances, you know, she like, you know, she fell off the horse, he like sort of, you know, pushed her into that, but he bashed her head in, I guess. I've been reading the books,
Yeah.
or the book too, and they don't really. They don't say it was Damon in the book or anything, so that's something they've added in the show. But it's I think later on in the episode we see that he was still interested in Rhaenyra, but is also looking towards his cousin too. So I think he does have some machinations.
Yeah, quite possibly. I think the ego on Damon is definitely to the point where, like we mentioned earlier, it's they're not even an Arryn's, they're not even a like a Royce really, or they're sort of like her cousin was a Royce, but not really. Yeah, like we're talking, is it Runestone or something that the castle is?
Runestone, yeah. Runestone. You
I
can look it up on the wiki.
yeah, I don't even know if that has much in the way of relevance. Runestone, so I'm looking at it.
Runestone.
So it's by.
Yeah, seat of
Oh.
House Royce Neville Aaron.
Well, geographically speaking, I've just looked it up on the map. Runestone is not a million, like it's not 1 million miles away from Braavos. Like it would be a direct shipping route. I don't know if that means anything. Whether or not that would be like a military advantage. But it is on the coast near Braavos. I'm just trying to find where the stepstones are. Are they like
The stepstones are between Dorne and like Essos.
Yeah, so it's there's Lys that's not far away south of the Stepstones, Tyrosh, which we have not seen much of. Is that one of the free cities? I guess so. Myr, where of course Thoros of Myr comes from. So that's interesting, actually. The Stepstones, they're quite south of
And I
yeah.
think the Triarchy, it was or is supposed to be like an alliance of Volantis, Pentos, and Braavos, but I might be getting the cities mixed up. So
Well,
that
Volantos,
were those were the,
that sounds familiar, but
yeah, that's like south Essos near Valyria.
Volantis is south, but like Braavos is like well out of the way if they've got anything to do with the Triarchy. They're like completely to the north. Actually, to be
Yeah.
fair, that's kind of interesting. I'm just looking at the map now. Like Braavos, to the north of Braavos is basically the North Pole, or not the north, but like the yeah, like mag their magnetic north.
It's up. It's not quite as like north as Winterfell, but it's really far up there.
There's an island. The only island is Ibben, and there's the port of Ibben.
Okay, I was wrong. I was wrong about Braavos. Okay, so the cities in the hierarchy are Myr, Lys, and Tyrosh.
Okay, that makes sense. That
So
makes a lot more sense, yeah.
that's in the south. That's all right near the Stepstones. That yeah.
Okay, so there's some stuff referenced in the Wiki of Ice and Fire about Ibben. The grey, gloomy port of Ibben has cobbled alleys, steep hills, teeming docks, and shipyards. The city is lit by whale oil lamps surrounded on iron chains. Its main structure is the God King's Castle. Beyond the port of Ibben, foreigners are only allowed with an Ibbenese host. The port of Ibben has ruled over Ib and the Lesser Isles of the Dawn Age. In Ilario's manse in Pentos, Daenerys sees hairy men from the port of Ibben. Catelyn Stark and Sir Roderick Castle see a fat-bellied whaler with a. Okay, so this seems to be like some. I don't know. Yeah, we've not seen that in any of the TV shows, but that's kind of interesting. Ibben. Anyway, I'm sidetracked. Yeah, I don't know if that means any. Yeah, so I guess I don't think that probably doesn't mean anything then. If Runestone being all the way up north on the coast comes into play when it comes to the Dance of Dragons, it's not 1 million miles away from Dragonstone by ship. But when you've got a dragon, everything's like 2 hours away at max, right? So one of the things I'm finding to be quite interesting is Lionel Strong as Hand of the King.
Yes.
He
That's
th this is
and his son too, the Clubfoot,
he's
he's an
a
interesting character
and
too.
well we even saw Breakbones for a
Yeah,
little bit.
at the wedding he broke up the fight, right?
Breaking up's a generous term.
Well, break up. Well, he,
he
took Kristen off of Joffrey's body.
he took
Or,
and he took Rhaenyra out of there. But like he laid out a few people through that fight. Like so I think the Strong family is going to be quite interesting. But I really like it's a very Game of Thrones way how they introduce the Strong family very slowly through the background. Like Lionel Strong, some people have like been comparing him to Varys in the, very very soft, very much in the background, not particularly like out for themselves, but also quite politically deft at the same time. Now I don't imagine that the Strong family are particularly ambitious beyond their station, right? Like, they've got a good thing going. They seem to be like,
they're not the high towers. They're not trying to become, you know, the second most powerful family or anything. I think they're pretty, Lionel's pretty content with being hand of the king, and that's pretty significant as it is.
Exactly. There's not really, like, they want to play it safe, and they probably do want, like, they probably are serving the realm. I would imagine they would probably be, like, legitimately honorable, but at the same time not stupid. Like, I'm sure these people exist, right? Maybe. I don't recall much, like, I don't recall the Strong family being particularly prominent in the Dance of Drag, or like particularly, like, I could be wrong here, but they just seem
I do know a spoiler. Yeah.
Spoil me.
So basically, after this episode, Kristen's is totally going to go over to the Queen's side, support the Greens, mm-hmm. and the new Swarm Protector of Rhaenyra is going to be Harwick Strong.
Okay.
And it's alleged that he is the father of her children that she will have with Prince Laenor, or Sir Laenor.
Oh. Well, that's quite interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. If the show follows the books. They're the books.
Mm. I mean,
it's already deviated from the timeline a little bit.
Well, they're going to have to in a substantial number of ways. Also, like, with the Fire and Blood, you've got the unreliable narrators.
Yes, they in these chapters specifically, they go into that and they talk about it, how they basically have the record, the maester that's compiling it, has records from a maester, the high septon, and a like court jester named Mushroom, mm. and they all the sources sort of contradict each other a little bit here and there. Yeah. So,
well,
we're finding out new things for the first time in this show.
Yeah. Well, Kristen Cole, he. Since we're in spoiler territory, he murders someone on the council when the king dies, when Viserys dies.
Yes, yeah, Lord Beesbury.
That's the one. Does he? So does Criston Cole just turn into a complete, like, I don't know, Bronn of the Blackwater type of character, or maybe not as bouncy, not as irreverent, but like it seems that. From my understanding of Criston Cole is that he seems quite brutal, and like we
yeah
because like, he like you get introduced to him, you think, oh, okay, this is a little bit of maybe the like you're introduced to him as an almost knight in shining armor kind of fella, and are you kind of watching him just sort of tumble down into a, you know, is he going to be this like gritty hired gun type of character where he's just like loyal to Alicent, but like the Hound, maybe. Do you know what I mean? Like from the original Game of Thrones.
Where, yeah,
it just becomes so cynical and jaded that it's that he, like, yeah, that he just, I don't know, because from the accounts that I know of in the Dance of the Dragons, of which a lot of I've forgotten, so my spoiler knowledge or my knowledge of how the Dance of the Dragons pans out is spotty at best, but yeah, from what I remember of Criston Cole is that he just seems quite, I don't know, mercenary, I guess, or not, you know, not the character that was introduced at the beginning of the show, that's for sure.
Yeah, that was definitely all added just for the show. I think everything with him at in the tourney at the beginning wasn't in the book, and in the book, they actually say that Laenor killed Joffrey, Laenor's boyfriend, in in the tourney, I think. So they changed that, or the sources were wrong. Everyone look at it. Maybe they try to change history a little bit there. That can we talk about the wedding now and all the just.
The wedding, quite a lot happened, but let's see. I'm just gonna look it up now. Right, so chronologically speaking, Lannisters come in. All right, so this Jason Lannister guy is the first, he's the first like bit at the wedding. He's we don't like him. No one likes him. He's clearly the he's clearly everyone thinks he's a knobhead, right? Like,
Yeah, till now I've had.
yeah. And he sort of he side eyes Rhaenyra a little bit, which is kind of dumb. So he's obviously not like he's obviously not very bright. That guy from House Royce, he the cousin of,
Rhea, I think. Cousin of Rhea.
yes,
It was the wife of Damon.
that's the one. He comes up and he outright makes an accusation against Damon. Kind of gets a not gets a kind of gets away with it, or like,
It seems like he basically entirely got away with it. Damon sort of had the last word with the oh, I inherit her lands and you're living on my land kind of thing. But maybe Damon's gonna follow up with him later on after all this.
yeah,
It didn't
maybe.
seem like Viserys was very interested. Viserys just sort of lets him walk in after, banishing him in the previous episode.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's yeah, I don't I'm not entirely sure what the what the game is with that, to be honest.
I think Viserys, it just shows, how weak Viserys is, and he just keeps,
Yeah.
reneging on his word, and he has a soft spot for his brother.
Yeah. And maybe he doesn't rec see it or recognize it, or no, he seems to like, I don't know, does he care? Is he so drained at this point that he just doesn't have the energy to follow, to keep up?
He seems in bad shape. He claps a couple of times in this episode. It's kind of hard to believe that he's gonna last a couple more years.
I saw him in the preview for the next episode, and I was surprised. I would not have been, I was expecting that collapse to be the end of it, and I was expecting the jump in 10 years to be maybe like after his death. But I think I've seen him in the preview, so I think I like, which is a big time jump. So,
They're changing. But the actresses, I'm gonna miss the ones they have now. They have been really good.
yeah, I remember when they changed up some of the voice actors in Pokemon at season 9, and I couldn't watch it anymore because it kind of threw me out of it. I tried, but
I think they totally changed like this the studio, the American studio that had the dub license.
yeah, I looked it up.
I remember that too.
Yeah, and it was like when the show was declining, and they just decided to cut back on costs and hire cheaper actors for it, and which is yeah. But they're still running. I think it's still running. I think Pokemon's still running, so.
Oh yeah, it'll never stop running for the rest of our lives, probably.
It's become The
It's
Simpsons.
one of those franchises. Yes, it's the Japanese Simpsons.
All right, so we've got Damon. After the Royce guy was sort of being sort of discussed and dealt with, then Corlys and the Valyrian folks come in. What is kind of interesting, actually, just as I'm looking over this, we were introduced a little bit more. I think I think you might have mentioned Laris Strong, the other strong
Yes,
son.
the clubfoot.
Yeah, who seems to be a little bit of like, some people have been saying he's like the Littlefinger of the show, right? Like he is
Yes.
almost what Littlefinger should have
Totally.
been, because like Littlefinger might as well like have had a moustache and was, you know, be twiddling it all the time. Do you know what I mean? Like everyone, like
Yeah, exactly.
with Littlefinger, there was very much a show don't tell, or show and tell in many cases, you know, in terms of what his character was like. Like he was very stereotypically, you know, well, Littlefinger in his way, but a lot of people say that like a more accurate portrayal of Littlefinger would have been like Laris Strong here, someone who people might look down on, that people might not necessarily spot as a threat, and yeah, like I think that he's an interesting character, especially with his like little insinuations and like planting these little,
Yeah,
you know.
he's very careful with how he's speaking. And he's, I think, definitely in the green side of the court, with Allison. He's sort of like reminds me of like sort of combination of like Varys and Littlefinger a little bit, because like people like were sort of like assumed like less of Varys, you know, because he's a eunuch and everything, and he was treated differently, and I think he's in the same way
So,
here.
okay. So the Strong family might actually be massive political players, to watch out for
Yes,
anyway.
yeah, because I think he ends up becoming Master of Whispers. I don't know if it's to Viserys or if it's to I think Allison's son or something. So yes, they are going to become more powerful going forward for sure.
But are the Strong family playing both sides? Are we going to have Breakbone Strong?
I think that they're just yeah they are on just different sides. The family is, you know, split. It seems to be like split in two or splitting in two a little bit.
But is that by design? Are they literally just playing both sides?
That's the question.
That's the question. That's what I want to find out. That's interesting. 'Cause yeah, break bones. Does he go? Does he side more with Rhaenyra? Yeah, well he does. Yeah, he's Rhaenyra's personal guard. Yeah. So, and then yeah, Laris is like, yeah, sort of, you know, whisperers for Alicent, or at least you know, like, feeding her information. That's yeah, like that's playing both sides. So no matter whatever the outcome is, you win, right? Or is it a house being torn apart? I don't know. Could be one or the other,
I
you
want to
know?
see more from them.
I suspect, given Lionel Strong seems to be doing quite well, and has yet to really come up against any kind of difficulties thus far, or any kind of like, you know, I suspect there's this is by political design. Like have a little bit of control in each different area of the court. You know, you've got the unassuming, unthreatening one, and then you've got the strong one. You know, like you've got like, you know, you look at if you look at their characters, right? Like Breakbones and Laris, they're like, you know, they're opposites in so many ways, and now they're on opposite sides. Like, but if they're working, you know, so it's like they're the same, but they're opposites. So yeah, I don't know. That's what I would assume it to be, rather than the house splitting apart. But what happens to the Strong? Because we don't see the Strongs in Game of Thrones. So does the house get wiped out?
Yeah, I don't know what happens in the end. I do know some things that happened to some of the Strongs, but how they got from where they are now to the time of Game of Thrones.
How
Maybe
strong?
that's wrapped up in the Dance of the Dragons. Maybe they linger on a little longer because they're the lords of Harrenhal, right? And when we see Harrenhal's abandoned in Game of Thrones, isn't it?
Well, it switches hands, but Harrenhal, like the curse of Harrenhal is that every family that's ever held it basically disappears.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, maybe the family kind of gets faded out by Dance of the Dragons then. I think that might be the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, if like Harrenhal is not a good omen for any family really, so if they're holding Harrenhal, then they're probably in for it. So,
Yeah.
All right, well, rest in peace, House Strong. Maybe they're playing both sides, get found out, and then executed, or maybe they just like die in the war. You know, wars tend often kill
Yeah.
people. You know. So this thing with Kristen Cole at the wedding then, like, oh, we should we talk about the meme that Stacey wants us to talk about?
Which one was that?
She sent it to me
Let me look
before,
what
but
that is.
earlier, like just after she saw the episode, I think. But it goes, so it's got a picture. All right, because I'll just describe it for the folks at home. So there's a picture of Kristen Cole, and it says, "This dumb b only fucked Rhaenyra once and thought he had done so well that she would give up her crown and birthright. I wish I had his self-esteem and thought so highly of myself." Hashtag House of the Dragon.
Yeah, for real. He like the whole episode I was watching Kristen Cole and every decision he made, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like he does seem he seems like he's like, racked with guilt over breaking his vows, and in his eyes, like the only thing he can do to redeem himself is, well, not even redeem himself, is just to, get away. But Rhaenyra does not see him the same way that, he does her.
He strikes me as being woefully
Clearly.
naive, because
Yeah, incredibly naive. And he would have such a good thing going for him if he didn't,
yeah.
screw things up for himself. But he, I don't know. He, I think, I just thought he's a real dummy
Yeah, he is.
in
He's
this
a
episode.
he's an like yeah, he like he is. He's a dummy, right? Because the thing is, it's like surely he must have gathered the fact that it's probably not uncommon for princes and princesses to have a bit on the side. Like that's kind of almost normal in the world of Game of Thrones, right? Like it's open secrets and all that kind of stuff. And being a Kingsguard, you know all those open secrets. If not from yourself, like you're going to hear it from other members of the guard, you know, and other members of
Yeah.
court. Like you're
Yeah,
quite.
it like the Kingsguard have had a history of, various like improprieties. This is not he's not the first Kingsguard to break his vows or anything.
Yeah. It's very softly treated. Yeah, he just seems like he just doesn't have any kind of sense of politics or his own emotions. Like, yeah, you see, he comes across as sort of very naive, and well, you know, he got, yeah, like, I mean, also, he's kind of stuck in a between a rock and a hard place. If Princess Rhaenyra tells you to do something, you can't really decline. So it's the old Jaime Lannister, what happens when your king asks you to break your vows, right? Like, you know, what's honor to your king or honor to the realm,
He
right?
is a bit. Yeah, he is a bit Jaime Lannister.
Yeah. Wow, it's interesting how there's like quite a lot of analogues in these, you know.
Yeah,
I
it's like
suppose.
as George Lucas said, it's like poetry, it rhymes.
Yeah. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if Kristen Cole sort of becomes a bit more grizzled, a bit more jaded and cynical at the world now that he's had his heart broken, I guess. Because I think he probably genuinely was in
Yeah,
love. I think
I
he.
think so too. And he, I don't think he's ever going to get over it because he just, is seems like he's violent and he's smashes people's faces in and he's going to throw people out windows.
Yeah, like he, like the thing is, right? He basically murdered someone at a party in the middle of, like, that's clearly the actions of someone that's got nothing to lose, or at least feels that they've got nothing to lose. So
Yeah.
this is a
Well, at the
character.
end, he's about to kill himself, commit seppuku
Yeah.
in the Godswood.
Yeah.
So he really thought he had nothing to lose in that moment.
Yeah. So it would be interesting to see what Alicent sort of does to rehabilitate him, I guess. Is she just gonna say, there, it's gonna be all right. You become one of my Kingsguard. You become my personal Kingsguard person now, and you know, she's gonna bring
I
him
don't
in.
understand how he's gonna get himself out of this situation. Like, how's he gonna explain himself? Like, what did, I don't know.
Yeah. How's he going to explain himself? How's he going to account for that? And also, like, what is the journey that he's going to get where he becomes ruthlessly loyal to Alicent? Where he was so ruthlessly loyal to Rhaenyra, but is Alicent
He feels
gonna?
so rejected by Rhaenyra that he just is sort of like by default against her, I think.
Quite possibly. God, sucks to be Kristen Cole, I guess.
He's his own worst enemy, though. Like,
He brought it on himself. Like, the thing is, like, a bit of scope wouldn't go amiss, right? Like, it's only a bit of shagging, right? Like, it's not like you're endangering the realm, right? Like you can sort of you can sort of work out or understand why the idea. Well, they explain in Game of Thrones, Aemon Targaryen explains why they take vows of chastity. It's because if you have a wife, if you love someone else, then you are distracted from your duties. But they turn a blind eye to what does Samwell call it? A bit of Sally on the side in Molestown, right? Like, you know, it's yeah. I think yeah, like he's obviously, like you say, he's his own worst enemy. He's completely lost perspective, and he's highly self-destructive about it. Also, I was kind of like, I know that that Knight of Kisses fella was I wonder what his game was when he went up to Kristen and sort of.
Yeah, that was a little dumb on his part, just, out in the open, just insinuating certain things.
Yeah,
Like, you think you want to keep that a little closer to the chest.
or at least like, yeah, kind of. But I don't know what his goal was, right? Because was it to like taunt him, or what, or was it? I guess it. I don't think it is, but could it have been an attempt to an olive branch to be like, you know, we're in this conspiracy
Yeah, I
together.
think that's what it was, but he was a little, naive about it, and he couldn't have predicted, Kristen would go berserk like that, because that's not something, a rational person would do if they were in that situation.
Maybe he just assumed that Criston Cole, being like a knight of the Kingsguard, was a bit more of a blokey bloke, and a bit more like, you know, not as emotionally invested in it all, perhaps. Or even still, like, not as. Maybe he just assumed that he was coming from they were coming from the same place, because you know, Knight of Kisses was still very much in love, like they were in love. So I assume, or they certainly gave that impression. So, and yeah, of course, we got Alicent earlier on was talking to her. Yeah, he outed himself as well.
Yeah, because she was asking about Damon indirectly. She didn't want to say the words, and he just sort of spilled the beans on himself,
God, those Hightowers, man,
which,
they can't spit it out, can they?
no, they can't. They are very delicate with the way they speak, which is something I really appreciate about the writing about the show, because that's how they would talk, because you don't want to be accused of saying something treasonous, right? So you're always going to sort of talk a little bit in code when
Yeah.
talking about these
Cup
things.
coupling. Coupling.
Coupling. Yes.
Coupling. Actually, going back to near the beginning of the episode, Hall of Driftmark. That's kind of cool. With all the artifacts. Including, I think we got a glimpse of the Crab Man's mask. Crab Man, Crab Feeder,
Yes.
Crab Taster, Crab Connoisseur, Man of Crabs,
Crab Master.
nice Crab Master, Master of Crabs. And also how Corliss waited at in the Driftmark throne room to receive the king, which was and he did even actually say at one point, like, "Do you think I've overplayed my hand?" To his wife, who I'm blanking on the name of.
Rainies.
Yes, and yeah, I think he was a bit. So, yeah, out of this episode, I was particularly interested to see. Lionel Strong sort of emerges as the hand, and he was in the preview for the next episode. So, and he was substantially balding, which is kind of interesting. So obviously, signifying the big time jump. So he lasts like longer than 10 years as a hand, because in Game of Thrones terms, that's not very long. I mean, like, in terms of like your average hand doesn't
Well, it's
last so
ages
long.
for Hand of the King.
Yeah, it's ages for Hand of the King.
For
So he seems to be doing all right. Like, he seems to be all right at the job, it seems so far. That was a very interesting conversation when Viserys was lying down unwell in his chambers, and Lionel was or they were talking about like what made a good king, and or like, will I be remembered as a good king? And Lionel basically
in
says, you'll be remembered as an uneventful king, right? Like, you reigned over a relatively quiet time of peace, which by all accounts is good, right?
Yeah, he's very pragmatic, and that's why I think he may have more of the good of the realm in mind. Because he's like, yeah, maybe he didn't, win any wars or anything, but isn't it better to, live in a time of peace?
Yeah, and I, like, that's it, right? Like, if you put the realm before yourself, then yeah, time of peace is good. Prosperity, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, I suppose he's got the step. Well, does he? History will probably credit him with the stepstones of sorts, but
Well, history does ends up crediting Damon
well, that's
and
true.
Corliss with the stepstone, really.
But it's better than a loss. Like, it's still, or like, I suppose it puts. Yeah, like, I don't know. Yeah, he doesn't have any great personal wins to his side. So,
No, he was
well.
never a great dragon rider or anything. He was the last rider of what the Balin, I think the
Valerian,
Aegon the
no.
Conqueror's Valyrian, yes, that's right. Aegon the Conqueror's dragon, but he died when Viserys was young, and he never took another dragon to
Yeah.
ride.
So, yeah. Like Lionel Strong's definitely like he is the pragmatist, and yeah, like, he's the no news is good news guy, and that's kind of fine, It's like, yeah. So yeah, interesting little bit of sort of like political philosophy there in good old Game of Thrones style. So yeah, big looking forward to the time jump now, and to see what that means when we, when we're, I believe, introduced to our new actors for Rhaenyra and Alicent. And to see what's going to have sort of transpired over the 10 years, and what's to come. Because, as I understand it, the Dance of the Dragons has not, as of yet, started, right? There's is there an event that kicks it off, or like, is there an event that's credited to the beginning of it? I think there is, right?
I think the seeds are already being sown now, but the official start, I think, is Viserys's death, and then after that, when the conspiracy for Alicent's children to inherit, or her son to inherit the crown.
Yeah. Do you think we'll see Viserys die in the next episode? Do you think that'll be it?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah,
Yeah. Well,
probably.
we haven't had a major character death yet, have we?
I don't think so.
No, the biggest is Damon's
Well,
wife.
there's the, yeah, Viserys. Oh, Daemon's wife, yes, and Viserys's wife in the first
Oh,
episode.
yeah. So, but I guess that's kind of like saying like Lord Arryn, in the first Game of Thrones, right? Like his, he was like the first big death of sorts, right? Because if he was alive,
Yeah.
he would be a main character in Game of Thrones, right? Like, but.
Yeah, well, I guess each of these shows has to start with the death of an Aaron.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm hyped. Cool. Right, I think I've said everything I've got to say. Any closing thoughts, Max?
I've said pretty much everything.
Awesome.
I'm just looking forward to next week. I hope these the new actresses can do as well as these ones have done.
Yeah.
So
One of the things
I can't believe we're halfway done already.
oh my God, halfway done already. One of the things I was kind of curious about is did how like in terms of continuity from the actors going out, transitioning, did they focus on in terms of casting, did they like cast one and then cast the second to match the other one? Like which way around would they have done it, right? Like would they have casted, because if this show goes on for like 3 or 4 seasons, then obviously it's going to be the older Rhaenyra actor, who is, oh, I don't have it up in front of me now. Did they cast her and then cast the younger one to match, or did they cast the younger one first because it was like the introduction and then cast the older one to match? Because obviously they have to like look like quite ident like quite similar, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't know.
Yeah, casting for the two must, I don't know, because you have to find so much criteria that matches. It's not just to find, someone that finds the part, that does the part well and sort of looks vaguely correct. Like they have to look spot on. And they've done a great job by all accounts, by the looks of it. So I don't know. Interesting. So cool. Anyway, yeah, can't wait. So I think that's about it from us today. We'll be back next week. Matt's not feeling too well, and I think Stacey might be working or something, but Blessings of the Seven that they return next week. And thank you very much, everyone at home, for joining us. Until next week, toodaloo.
See ya.